What's up, gym rats? This is Game Point. I'm Mr. Fundamental. Let's get it. Welcome to my podcast today. You can find me on Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor, and much more. We're going to get into a lot of things quick today. First, we're going to get into Major League Baseball. Obviously, we know it just started. And already, a couple of my teams that I said were the three best in the major leagues are not looking very good. That being the Boston Red Sox, the New York Yankees, and the Houston Astros. Red Sox sitting at 2-5 in the bottom of their division. Just above them is New York at 2-4. And then you got the Houston Astros at 2-5. This is very unexpected. All teams off to a slow start, and for different reasons. Boston can't pitch themselves out of anything, and New York, Yankees, and the Houston Astros, they just can't hit. So let me ask, do you push the panic button for a team starting this slow? I'll be honest with you, I'm panicking a little bit about the Red Sox, just because I'm not sold on the back end of their bullpen. But like I said, it's a 162-game regular season. So you don't have to push the panic button quite yet, especially with those teams having the power and the pitching they do, especially like the Astros. You know, their starting pitching will get it going. The Red Sox and the Yankees, their hitting will get going. But other than that, Bryce Harper making some noise up in Philly. They looking really good. The Mets looking really good. One of my podcasts, I said the Mets got to stop making moves and stop being the little sister of the Yankees, but they're sitting at 5-1. A lot of good young players over there playing some great baseball. 5-1. Milwaukee with a good start. 6-1. LA Dodgers doing what they do. 5-2. Looking really good. But I'm not much of a baseball guy. So we're going to move on to the NFL. And move on we will. There's a few things I want to talk about NFL-wise. First, it really does look like that the Arizona Cardinals are going to draft Kyler Murray with the number one pick. I don't like this. Like I said, I would go with Josh Bosa in a heartbeat. You know, just to get that pass rush going on. Imagine him and Chandler Jones on one side or the other. Just going after it. But instead, you know, everybody saw what Patrick Mahomes did. And they're thinking Kyler Murray must be the next coming. And Kingsbury really wants him. You know, in Arizona, this is a tough time for these Arizona Cardinals, because if they strike out on Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, they're in some big trouble with that fan base. Because they did draft Josh Rosen last year, and he had a rough season. But I wouldn't blame it on Josh Rosen. I would definitely blame it on the coaching staff and the offensive coordinator they had last year. I mean, come on, you had David Johnson, one of the best running backs in the league, and their offense made him obsolete. I mean, they didn't run the ball like they should. How do you protect a quarterback when you don't run the ball efficiently? So they got a new coaching staff, new offensive mind, Kingsbury. Still have David Johnson. Still, I would keep Josh Rosen. Let him see if he can make that sophomore jump. And then draft, obviously, Josh Bosa. We talked about that 100 times. But no, they look like they're going to go with Kyler Murray. Let Bosa smash Murray, because you know San Francisco with the number two pick is going to pick him. But let's move on from that. Who is going to draft Rosen? Or not draft, trade for Rosen. A lot of chatter has been around the league that no one will give up a first round pick. A couple of my teams that I thought would definitely go for it, and if I were those teams, I would, is the New York Giants. I think they can use him. Go ahead and let Eli get murdered one more year. He can learn under Eli, which I don't know if he would learn much. And then take over the reins, because the New York Giants need a quarterback. And in this draft, unless like Kyler Murray fell to him at 6, I don't think that it's worth drafting a quarterback. You know, I'm not sold on Haskins. I just don't think there's not enough good quarterbacks, and the New York Giants need it. Especially when you got a star running back over there. You need to start building on that team. You know, when you're a New York team, you don't have time just to rebuild for many years. It's not a good thing. You know, it's not like, I mean, like the New York Knicks have been just terrible for years. Fans still come, but in football, you don't want to do that in football. So you got to rebuild and rebuild quick. So Josh Rosen would be great there. Washington's another team. You know, you don't know what's going on with Alex Smith. You know, with that devastating injury, is it career threatening? But he also can be the bridge to the future there. But another team I want to bring up, and the only reason why I bring up this team, because they are going to need a quarterback, and it's my team, is the New England Patriots. If I were New England, if obviously no one's going to give up a first-round pick, I would. Even though you know New England's pick is going to be between 25 and 31, go ahead and throw it. Even if Tom Brady plays for 3 years, you still have 3 years and an option with Rosen to learn. Is it kind of expensive? Yeah, you know, what is he making, $6 million a year for a backup quarterback? But guess what? If Bill Belichick wants to move towards the future, I would do it. So tell me what you think. Do you think that would be a good idea for the New England Patriots to take a stab at Rosen? I still think it's a terrible idea that Arizona drafts Kyler Murray, and I hope that's not the case. But I may be wrong. I may be wrong bad. But Mr. Fundamental is rarely wrong. So I don't think I'm going to be wrong on this one. So if I was an Arizona fan, oh boy, I wouldn't be too happy right now. A lot of things going wrong. I wasn't even good with them, you know, picking Kingsbury as a coach who was a losing college coach, and then you bring him into the NFL looking for the next Sean McVay. But good luck, Arizona. We'll see what happens. You never know. They might just be throwing smokescreen. You know, that's what a lot of teams do during the draft, because maybe the Giants want Kyler Murray at 6, and Arizona says we're going to pick him, so maybe they're trying to get some extra draft picks or something like that. You never know. It's all smoke and mirrors right now. We won't know till draft day, which is coming around the corner. Other NFL news, obviously Russell Wilson is wanting a new contract and gives an April 15th deadline. And I you know, like I said, I want guys to get their money. And I'm not a fan of, you know, players demanding so much. Russell Wilson I can bend a little bit for. I mean, he's a Super Bowl winner. He's a really good quarterback. He's a really good leader. He is the face of Seattle. But I pose this question, because with the NFL and their salary caps, if the quarterback is making, you know, $25 to $35 million a year, it takes up so much of the cap. Therefore, you're not going to have the talent that you need to be a Super Bowl contender every year, because your quarterback's making most of the money. And I know as a franchise, you have to have a great quarterback to win. So obviously you need to play a quarterback. But I'm just talking about as a quarterback. If you're in Russell Wilson's shoes, if you're in Aaron Rodgers' shoes, if you're in Tom Brady's shoes, Matt Ryan's, I know you want to make money, but wouldn't you want to take just a little less? I mean, this is where it's tough. And you guys that are listening at home, I know you're probably saying, well, Mr. Fundamental, you're stupid. You got to take your money, because winning's not guaranteed anyway. And I understand that. And I know Tom Brady's situation is different, because everybody says, oh, he's willing to take a pay cut because his wife makes more than him. I can understand that as well. But this is how I look at it. And I'm a business person, so you guys can sit at home, sit in your cars, and tell me if I'm wrong. Let's say you are Russell Wilson, okay? And you, no, let's say you're Dak Prescott, since he is coming up for a contract. You haven't won anything yet, right? And the Cowboys want to offer you 5 years, $170 million, which was, I think, close to Aaron Rodgers' contract, correct? And you know that's a lot of money, okay, $170 million. So let's say it's $30 million a year, whatever it is. Let's say it's 5 years, $150 million. So you're making $30 million a year. So you're taking away $30 million a year from the cap. And you know for a fact that you might not win because you can't fill the rest of the team up as well as you want with the talent you need to win a Super Bowl. Do you take that $30 million? Or do you say, you know what? Give me 5 years, $100 million. But guarantee it too. Okay? Because usually in a 5 year, $150 million deal, they probably give you $100 million guaranteed anyway. 5 year, $100 million guaranteed. That means you're giving your team $10 million a year to get you another weapon. You'll win more. When you win more, you get more star power. When you get more star power, you get more endorsements. You don't think if you keep winning Super Bowls, you can get more endorsements? I mean, you see Peyton Manning. I know Tom Brady has some endorsements. He's not that, you know, endorsement whore where he wants to be on every commercial like Peyton Manning. But you see, when you win, you can get endorsements. That's a big difference. You know, if Russell Wilson has one, so he's gotten endorsements. But I would think you would take a a pay cut so you can win and then you can make it up in endorsements. And I might be wrong. That's why I'm posing the question to you guys at home or you guys in your cars. And obviously, I can't hear you, but you guys can talk amongst yourselves. Or if you, once I get my a Facebook page for my podcast, we can go back and forth about it. And that's what I'm going to do instead. I'm going to do a Facebook page instead of an email. It's going to be called Game Point with Mr. Fundamental, the podcast, so we can go back and forth on there. And also I can read questions or go over any topics that you guys want to go about on my podcast. Because that's the really tough thing about podcasts. You know, you're sitting here talking by yourself sports and you want to go back and forth with somebody sometime. So that's how I'm going to do it. So by next week, I'm going to have a Facebook page called Game Point with Mr. Fundamental. And it's strictly for this podcast or any other show I do so we can go back and forth in sports. So back to Russell Wilson. They're saying he might get a contract of 5 years, $180 million, $101 million guaranteed. Whew! Is he worth it? I mean, he's won a Super Bowl. He's a proven winner. He's a leader. I guess so. I just don't understand why a quarterback would want... Like I said, I'm conflicted, guys. $180 million. Do you want to take that much of your cap and not win? Now, obviously, he's already won, so he might be thinking, I don't care. Let me just... I'll go 10-6 every year, make the playoffs, get ousted, and I'm making bank. I'm a happy-go-lucky guy. I already got my ring. I can understand that. I can understand it. I'm not mad at anybody wanting to get their money. If you want to get your money, get your money. You know, and I've not been in that situation either. You know, if someone shows me 5 years, $180 million, you think I would turn it down? Probably not. But on the flip side, if someone said, well, Mr. Fundamental said, or your agent said, you should go 5 years, $100 million, give up 80, but you win more Super Bowls and possibly, the key word is possibly, make up that 80 million endorsements. Obviously, as a business person, you got to take the 180. But I just posed that question to you guys. That's all I wanted to do. Tell me what you think, what you would do. That's enough football. Football is over. I mean, obviously, the AFL closing, good for them. I know that's terrible for guys that are trying to get second shots, but you knew that wasn't going to last. The NFL wasn't going to let that last anyway. I would love to have a minor league for football. I think that'd be great. I think that'd be great. It'd be more football. But I guess, you know, football just in the spring doesn't sell anymore. It doesn't, you know. And in the summer, it probably doesn't either because everybody's on vacation doing their things. But moving on, we going on to basketball. Because I love basketball. You love basketball. We all love basketball. You know what's crazy to me? I'm sitting there, you know, like I said, I'm a sports guy. So I love listening to SportsCenter. I love listening to podcasts. Stephen A. Smith, Adam Schein, Mad Dog Sports. And the NCAA Final Four is not being talked about like it really should be. Now, you got one really storied franchise in the Final Four, Michigan State. But Michigan State doesn't get love. They never get love. I mean, Tom Izzo is one of the best coaches in the history of the game, no doubt. He even out-coached Coach K, who I think is the best college coach in college history. But no one's really talking about the Final Four. I mean, yeah, they do their spots like they're supposed to, but it doesn't have as much buzz as the year past, you know, because they don't have the teams like the North Carolina, the Dukes. But I'm really thinking that this might be the best Final Four we might ever have in talking about game standpoint. Like, I think a lot of these games are going to be really close, and it's going to be a battle. And I think the national championship is going to be a classic, whoever it is. But I'm going to go ahead and pick who's going to win the national championship today and why. Now, like, I'm not a college basketball analyst, so I'm not going to break it down X's and O's. I know X's and O's, but I don't know these players. I don't watch college basketball all the time, so I can't tell you what this kid shoots from this spot like I should. I'm not no Jay Billis, so I'm not going to do that for you. I'm just going to pick the games, tell you what I think, and we'll move forward. So we'll go to Michigan State and Texas Tech. Obviously, Michigan State is the more storied college team. They got the better coach, but something tells me Texas Tech, their offense has gotten much better. They're a gritty team on defense. I mentioned last week in my podcast that the stars are aligned for this team. I didn't even pick them going to the Sweet 16. I actually picked Buffalo to beat Texas Tech, I believe. But anyways, they're here. They're very confident. Everything is going well for them. The ball's bouncing the way. The stars are aligned. I think Texas Tech will win this game in a thriller. I think this is going to be a great game. But I think Texas Tech just has it. They have that it. I watched them. I actually rewatched the game of Gonzaga, and they just have it. You know, they're playing very fluid on offense. I'm very impressed with them. So Texas Tech will beat Michigan State. Let's go overtime. Like I said, it's going to be the most exciting Final Four and national championship in a long time. Let's say 71-68 overtime. Texas Tech will move on to the national championship. Then you got Virginia and Auburn. And this one I can see going lopsided. But Auburn also has the end. They have Bruce Pearl, who, man, he's got to be one of the most motivated type of coaches. He knows how to motivate a squad. Great coach over there. Very fiery. He's my type of coach. Coach is kind of like I do. Very fiery guy. Auburn, even though losing Okiki hurts, I think they'll make this a game. What they did at Kentucky, I was so impressed with. Their guards are so quick. They play great defense. They don't take a play off, Auburn. That's what makes them so special this year. They don't take plays off. They go after it. When they make a turnover, they don't put their head down. They go, go, go. Do I think they will beat Virginia? I'm not sure. This is what I don't like about Virginia. Virginia is super talented. They got a great coach over there. It's a great program. They've written what is wrong, what they did last year, losing as the number one seed to a 16th seed. So that's behind, and the monkey's off their back. Make a Final Four monkey off your back. They made it. This is their national championship to lose in my eyes. But what I'm not sold on is their offense. Watching them run their offense makes me want to pull their hair out. Their defense is a thing of beauty. I love it. They rotate. They move. They rebound. They jump fast in lanes. They're a thing of beauty. But their offense scares the living hell out of me. The end of that Purdue game, I swear to God, I thought they were trying to give it away running their offense. They weren't running offense. I mean, they're running around in circles, setting half screens, and then they had to shoot a long three at the end of the shot clock. Drove me crazy. There's no back cuts. There's no real screens. I mean, you watch them set a screen. They don't even set a screen. They set a screen like rec ball guys do. You know, they don't even wait for the pick. They're gone. But I think Virginia is just a little too talented for Auburn. I think it's going to be a great game. But I think now Virginia, since they have the monkey off the back, they got some confidence. They feel like they are the favorites in this Final Four, which they are. And I think they're going to play a lot more loose than they did the rest of this tournament. And I think they will win this game. But I think it's going to be a great game because Auburn don't give up. They got Bruce Pearl leading that team, making them then believe that they are a national championship team. I didn't even have Auburn going out the first round. I had New Mexico State beating them. And here they are in the Final Four, and they deserve it. I'm going to think this is a low-scoring game because, like I said, Virginia is not a very good offensive team. Auburn is an okay offensive team. Lots of speed. I'm going to say this is going to be a 58-55 game, Virginia, in regulation. So there it is. So now I got Virginia and Texas Tech. Both teams, the stars is aligned. Texas Tech's a better offensive team. And let me tell you something, guys. Everything in my heart, in my mind, wants to pick Virginia because they're more talented. They still have the better coach. But like I said before, Texas Tech, the stars are aligned for Texas Tech. And Texas Tech will win the national championship. And it's going to be a classic. It's going to be a brawl. It might even be a last second. Since I said Virginia's going to win, I think it's going to be a last second three-pointer at the buzzer, down by two. Texas Tech will win by one. Mark it. Texas Tech national championships. Mr. Fundamental's rarely wrong. With NCAA, he might be. But go ahead, Texas Tech over Virginia. Moving on to the NBA, my favorite. Season coming down to an end. Let's talk about some things. In my Road to Elite Sports League, I commentate basketball games, and I was getting into it in my gym rats on who can beat the Golden State Warriors. Because let me tell you something. A lot of people don't believe in Golden State because of the regular season. You already know what I think about the regular season. It ain't worth a damn. When you win 4 out of 5 championships, or you winning championships and you're a championship contender every year, you don't care about the regular season. And as a player, you get bored, I promise you. So sometimes you're not always playing hard, and that's the case with Golden State Warriors. But what I saw the other night, what they did to the Nuggets, was what you're going to see in the playoffs. They're going to turn it on, and they're going to wax you. And the Denver Nuggets, I love. I predicted them to be the second seed. I was right. But they are not. They are not a championship contender team, not yet. You know what they remind me of? And I don't mean to slight any Denver fans because I love Denver. Grew up in Colorado. I love the Nuggets. I want them to do well. I would love to see Denver win a championship one day. That'd be great. But they remind me of the 60-win Hawks. A few years, you know, like five or six, you know, what was it, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago when they were the number one seed and they didn't do a damn thing in the playoffs because they don't really have a superstar. I know the big Joker in the middle, everybody says he's a superstar. I have to tell you something. He's an all-star, but he's not a superstar. Did you see what DeMarcus Cousins did to him? That's a good, good player. They are one superstar away from being a championship contender. Mike Malone, hell of a coach. He's got those guys playing at a high level. Jamal Murray, everything is clicking over there. And I'm not trying to dish it, Denver. You're going in the right direction. I love it. I love it. I love it. But you're not. I won't be surprised if you see Oklahoma City or San Antonio in the first round if Denver loses in the first round. I'm not going to guarantee. I think if it's OKC, I think OKC will handle Denver. If it's San Antonio playing Denver, I think Denver can win because Denver has a lot of mismatches. And great matchups for San Antonio. So if you're a Denver fan, you don't want to see OKC fall to that or be in that seventh seed. You want to see San Antonio in that seventh seed. And if you're OKC, San Antonio, you don't want to be in the A seed because you don't want to see Golden State. You do not want to see Golden State in the first round. So we were going over this. And before I go into it more, who can beat Golden State, let's go back to OKC. Russell Westbrook, 20-20-20. What a feat. He had a triple-double of 20 points, 20 rebounds, 20 assists. The first time since 1968 that happened when Wilt Chamberlain had 22 points, 25 rebounds, 21 assists. Obviously, this was crazy because he said the number 60, which has something to do with Nipsey Hussle, you know, the rapper that died or was murdered last week. You know, rest in peace to him. I don't know too much about him. I'm not going to pretend I know who he is. I'm not much into the rap game. You know, I just heard, you know he used to be a gangster. And, you know, he turned to be a big advocate for L.A. and the police, you know, trying to stop gang violence, you know, so much up to him. And, you know, rest in peace and condolences to his family. But like I said, I can't speak on Nipsey Hussle. I don't know him. I didn't know much of him. But Westbrook, 20-20-20. And a lot of people have been bashing Westbrook for years because it's crazy. They say he's a stat padder. And you know what? There's times that I agree. There's times that I agree, like, you know, like I hated it when Steven Adams would box out and allow Westbrook to get the rebound. But do you realize this guy is going to average a triple-double 3 years in a row? And no one cares. It was so crazy. No one did it for like 30-something years. So many years since Oscar Robertson. And when Russell Westbrook did it, they gave him the MVP. And everybody was cheering. But now everybody's getting bored of it. And I feel bad for Russell Westbrook because he is a specimen. And everybody dogs him. Well, you got to win a championship. Yes, you do. But it's not his fault Kevin Durant left. You know? He can't be the main vocal point on the team to win a championship. That's another jab they stab at him. That's not proven yet. Do I think his shot selection in crunch time is questionable? Oh, yes. He's terrible. But we shouldn't knock him as a player. This dude is super talented. I would love to have him on my team. I would actually rather have him on the Celtics than Kyrie Irving. Because I know that guy is going to bust his butt, go 100%, and give you his all, and just go. Where Kyrie Irving takes off nice because his back hurts and he wants to whine and he wants to talk about the earth is flat and, oh, talk me my contract last year. Oh, the media is terrible. You guys are against us. Wah, wah, wah. But what this guy has done, 3 triple-doubles. And you know what? I understand that people get bored of it. They're like, oh, okay. But 30 years from now, people are going to look back at what Russell Westbrook done in his career and they're going to say, man, he is one of the greatest of all time. Because I guarantee you, after Westbrook's gone, you will never see. We might go another 30 or 40 years without a guy averaging a triple-double. But I do understand where you guys are coming from. I understand where you guys come from. But don't get it twisted. The guy is great, and I give him his props. Like I said, could he shoot better? Yes. Can he make better decisions? Yes. But what he's doing, he is still a great player. I would still put him in the top 10 in a heartbeat. Actually, I'd probably put him number 6 because there's the best players right now in the game. So I give you kudos, Westbrook, for what you've done. And I wish you luck in the playoffs. Just make better decisions, man. Especially in crunch time, man. He just jacks up too much. I think he should drive and make things happen. I think PG-13 should be the guy taking the last shot in OKC in the playoffs. If that's the case, OKC can make some noise. Which gets me to it. Who can beat the Golden State Warriors? When I was commentating last night, I heard people say, obviously, Milwaukee. A couple said Toronto, right? Anybody, the West team, since we live in Houston, I had a lot of homers, and they said Houston. And boy, did I shut that down quick. And I'm going to tell you why I shut it down. One of my boys, Jeff, very smart person, a friend of mine down here, me and him talk sports all the time, he actually brought up some interesting facts about Houston. He says, well, Houston right now, you know, they have that, what you call that it factor that we all, you know, like I said, championship teams have that. They're playing together. They're very confident. I understand that. He did bring up something that I have to rebuff. He said that Houston's a better defensive team than they were last year. We got to pump the brakes on that. Because I'm going to give you some stats. And here's important stats that people don't understand. Now, Houston, scoring-wise, they're in the middle. They allow 109.2 points a game, which is the middle. And that one I throw out the door because Houston Rockets, they're a fast pace. They're going to try to score a gajillion points on you. So obviously, when you get more possessions, the other team's going to have more chances, points to score. But here's the one that really bothers me: is their field goal percentage is in the bottom 10 at 46.7%. Now, let me give you some stats here. Milwaukee's number one only allows 43.2. Golden State's number three, the average is 44.4. Boston's like number five at like 45%. You see the numbers here? Those are championship contenders. You have to play defense in the playoffs. Now, one thing I will agree with my buddy Jeff is he says Harden's got something to prove. He's on a mission this year. Harden averaging 36 points a game. He is my MVP. Don't come argue with me. I swear to God, if the Greek Freak gets it, I'm going to tell you one thing. That award is tainted in my mind because that means you're just giving it to the best player on the best team every year. Period. And I know it hasn't been like that, but for this year, it will be. Best player on the best team in their conference. And this year, it's the NBA. Harden deserves it. Period. You can knock his defense, but then you can knock the Greek Freak shot. Because that dude couldn't shoot. He probably has a lower shooting percentage from the outside than I do. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Giannis. The dude's a beast. I love him. I would start my squad with him right away, but what James Harden's doing, he deserves the MVP, hands down. Now, getting to him, my buddy Jeff said he's going to turn around this playoffs. He's got something to prove. He has a chip on his shoulder, and I believe you, Jeff. I believe you, but I'm still not sold on Houston. I'm telling you why. They're the bottom 10 in field goal percentage allowed, and in the playoffs, they're a half-court team. So I'm going to treat the Houston Rockets like I've treated Toronto for the last 3 or 4 years. Obviously, Toronto the last 3 or 4 years said, oh, this is our year. This is our year. This is our year. And then they get their butt kicked by LeBron James and Cleveland Cavaliers. Well, you're LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers of the Western Conference. Your Achilles heel, Houston, is Golden State. Like Toronto's kryptonite was Cleveland, and LeBron, your kryptonite is Golden State and KD and Seth Curry. So no, Houston, this is not your year. I'm going to tell you this, mark it. I don't want it to happen because I'm a Celtic fan, but mark it. Golden State will win the championship this year. And I think they're going to do it in grand fashion. I really do. The way Oklahoma City's kind of fell off, you know, like I said, the Nuggets are quite ready. I think Houston's not as good as they were last year defensively. I think Golden State might run through the Western Conference. I think their biggest challenge is going to come from the East. And I do agree with my gym rats that were talking on my commentating last night. I do agree Milwaukee can challenge them because Milwaukee got the best defense in the league. They're long. They're athletic. I think they're the best challenge for Golden State, not the Celtics. I think the Celtics could challenge them because the Celtics have mismatch problems and they are long and athletic. But I don't think the Celtics are going to get there because the Celtics are just, boom, driving me crazy. Toronto, I love what Toronto's doing. But guess what? Toronto, you got your own. Prove it to me first before I give you anything. You have disappointed us for the last 4 years. I know it's different. You got Kawhi Leonard, LeBron's out of the East, yada, yada. I don't care. Show me. Show me, show me, show me. You guys got me rambling. Well, actually, it's me got me rambling. But I appreciate it. I said this podcast will be 25 to 30 minutes. We're at 31, so I'm going to wrap it up. And like I said, please, always follow me. Check me out on Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor. All you have to do is search Game Point with Mr. Fundamental, and you'll find me. And then look out for my Facebook page, because I'm going to tie everything into that. So then you guys can comment on my shows. You guys can ask questions. Or you can bring up topics that I'll bring up in the podcast. Because I want you guys involved. I love doing podcasts, but I miss my gym rats. I miss the people listening. I miss conversating with you. You can bring up points of old shows. You can disagree with me. Post, say, hey, Mr. Fundamental, you crazy. Houston is going to win the championship. What are you talking about? But you better give me facts or I'll burn you. You got it? Well, this is Mr. Fundamental. Thank you for listening to my podcast. We'll see you next time. Let's get it.